Let us once again come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for thy word. We thank thee, O Lord, that every time we gather in such a way, we are not here to hear words of men or ideas of men, or to listen to stories and fables, but we are coming to thy truth, to hear it. And we thank thee for the power that is in it. We pray that thou wouldst mold us and fashion us. Thou wouldst teach us thy ways. Thou wouldst help us and encourage us. We pray. Help, Lord, in the ministry of it. Help, Lord, in the hearing of it. And then, Lord, as thy word tells us, enable us not to be hearers only, but doers of it. So bless us and help us now for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, friends, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Last time we were together in verses 1 to 5. The Apostle Paul there reminding us that in the latter days, in those days that we are now living in, the time between the first and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in those days, the Scripture says to us that the church would struggle with false teaching, even in its very midst, and days of falling away and apostasy. And the Apostle Paul warns Timothy, this young pastor and elder in the church in Ephesus, about that and the effect that it could have, the bad effect, the harmful effect that it could have on the life of the congregation, the people of God. And so he gives instruction, warning about what to do in that situation. To be aware, to be a watchman, to have open eyes, to have discernment. And then we come now to verses 6 onwards, and specifically verses 6 through to 8. There Paul, the apostle, turns his attention under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on Timothy as a minister, as a servant, as a pastor, an elder. And you will notice even from the pronouns that are used, what he has to say is very much directed to Timothy, to his ministry, to his character, to the things that he is to be on the lookout for. Now, we cannot neglect ourselves. We cannot say, this is not for us then. It is for Timothy. It is for the servants of God. It is for ministers and elders and so on. No, my friends, this is for you too. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you are not out of the scope of Paul's focus here in God's Word. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction. We through it are trained in righteousness. We are all called to be good servants of Christ Jesus. Friends, servants, you know, is a word that Christ applied to himself. It comes right out of the Old Testament, where the Messiah to come is referred to by some of the great prophets, especially Isaiah, as the servant of the Lord, servant of Jehovah. And so it is not surprising then that the apostles themselves oftentimes use the same kind of language, refer to themselves as the servants of Christ. And the term here is the bond servant. It's that slave that was bound to the master and through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are bound to serve the Lord Jesus. Not as a slave in that sense, but as one whose heart has been bound to the heart of the Lord Jesus. And the word servant became a technical term for a particular office in the church. We've already seen something of that in 1 Timothy 3. The word servant is used for deacon. It used to title those who are in the ministries of mercy in a local congregation. But we also know in the New Testament that the word servant is a word which is applied to all of God's children, all who are disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be servants, to serve the Lord. The apostle again and again refers to this. So even as Paul gives a specialized word to Timothy, who is a servant of the Lord in the sense of being a minister, and that's what the word minister means, someone who serves. That's all it means. And as the Lord gives this word to this preacher, to this pastor of this local congregation, as an apostolic helper of the Apostle Paul, even as Paul gives instruction to Timothy on how to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in his unique role, Paul's words apply to us, every one of God's people. And so, don't say that this is not for me. This is just for the elders here. This is just for the leadership here. No. We can apply these things to ourselves too. What's your position right now? In what way do you serve the Lord? The only way that we can say ultimately that a man, a woman is a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is what the Lord does in us and through us. We are not good in ourselves, but everything that the Lord Jesus Christ does by the power of His Holy Spirit, it is good. Not the things that we do. And because everything we do is marred with all kinds of things. Everything is tainted. But what the Lord does through us, it lasts and it blesses and it gives Him glory. And you'll see in this passage how Paul tells us first what a good Christian servant is and how that good Christian servant is on the lookout for as a watchman. And secondly, he says what a good Christian servant is nourished by. And then thirdly, he says what a good Christian servant avoids. And then what he strives for, he says. And then fifthly and finally, what a good servant of Christ highly values. And I like to look at these five things that the Apostle Paul says in these verses 6 through to 8, about these things that we are to learn from. Here is speaking about the good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they are to be like. The first thing that we notice in verse 6 is of the good servant being a watchman of souls against false teaching. This is the concern of the Apostle Paul in the first part of verse 6, to be a watchman for souls against false teachings. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You see, that good servant of Jesus Christ uncovers and alerts his people to false teaching. And so the Lord is saying here, you must put these things into remembrance of the brethren, in remembrance of these things. The good servant of the Lord, good minister of the Lord, is on the lookout as a watchman, someone who is on the wall watching for danger, to be ready to alert God's people of any kind of danger. And Paul's message here is, the very first words of verse 6 is he's basically saying, watch out for any kind of wrong beliefs, bad theology, bad views of God, erroneous views of God that affects God's people, affects people's thinking. He has been saying this over and over again in 1 Timothy. He's reminding Timothy that one mark of a faithful minister of the gospel is that he's not only faithful in teaching, he's not faithfully teaching what the Bible says is true, he also warns the people of God against that which is not in accord with the Bible. That's what he does. The good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ uncovers he alerts his people to false teaching. It is like a doctor who would come and alerts you of the dangers that you may fall into and the things, the diseases that are going about, and says, watch out for such things. Make sure you prepare yourself for such things. And so it is. He is on the lookout for wrong ideas, bad theology. Theology simply means knowing the Lord, having right view of God. It's the knowledge of God. And so the faithful servant watches out for such things and warns. That's the message for us. There's a message for us in this. We ourselves are to be on the lookout for wrong views of God. We have to watch our own hearts and be aware of what's going on in the world spiritually around us. We are to care for good, solid, faithful Bible preaching and teaching. We should support such things. At different times in our life, changes take place. Maybe we need to move because of work or circumstances, and you'll be having that responsibility of finding a church, a local church to join and have fellowship in. And you have to be watchful over these things, especially in this day and age. And one of the things that you're going to want to look for in that church is faithful, biblical teaching and preaching. That's the first and most important, the most indispensable thing for a healthy local church life. What is being taught? Now, you'll find many people who are faithfully expounding the scriptures, that are teaching through books of the Bible and teaching. You listen to them and say, there's what they say, there's nothing wrong with what they say. But you don't find many who will talk about specific theology and doctrine of that scripture. They'll be vague and general about things. And it will not only teach you what's right, but you also will find them maybe not saying what is wrong. They won't give warnings. You have to be careful of that. But then you find others who are teaching the Word of God, and then from time to time, when it is appropriate, give a sound. Give that trumpet sound that there are certain things you need to be aware of. There are things you need to be careful of. So one of the things that you're going to be looking for in a faithful teacher of God's Word is someone who not only says what the Bible teaches, but also says what the Bible teaches against, and helps you to become more discerning about the dazzling variety of false teaching that is out there. That's what a faithful minister of God's Word does. And so he has two ways. Calvin talks about this. He seeks to win and to bring to his toward him the sheep of the Lord, and win them and nourish them and feed them, but also with his staff he seeks to ward off the wolves and to warn God's people against dangers and call out anything that will harm them. And so it is that we hear the Apostle Paul is saying, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, the things that he has just told you about, the warnings that he has given about the those who will depart from the faith and so on, the false teachings. And so if you bring these things to remembrance of God's people, then you are going to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth must be repeated. That's what he's saying. You must bring things to the remembrance of God's people. And so he says, you must repeat these things. You must say it again and again. Warning must be repeated. Teaching must be repeated. And so put in remembrance those things, Timothy. People often forget. We are very forgetful. And when we become negligent and begin to be subjective, and we forget things of the past. And so we need the objective Word of God to awaken us. And we need to face the mirror of God's Word. And a faithful minister will plainly teach these things. He doesn't have just a warning ministry. There is danger in that. Some people just speak about and warn and warn and warn, and it is a very negative kind of ministry. But there are appropriate seasons, times that the shepherd of the flock must give the call for the sheep to be gathered to him, as it were. The second thing that we noticed here is that the faithful and good servant of the Lord nourishes on sound teaching. He feeds on sound teaching. And that is what we read here. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And then he says, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He nourishes on sound teaching, sound doctrine. Or people who say, we don't really want doctrine, we don't really want teaching. But this is what Timothy is engaged in, and the Apostle Paul is encouraging him in that. He says, doctrine is important. Teaching is important. Sound teaching, sound theology is important. And so he comments that the good servant of Christ Jesus is constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine. Paul is reminding Timothy that good pastors, good preachers, good ministers themselves are nourished on doctrine. They are nourished on sound biblical teaching and theology. And if that's true for elders and preachers and pastors, it's also true for God's people in general. It is true of members. If that's true for shepherds, it's also true for the sheep. If that's true for preachers, it's true for those who are sitting and hearing the Word of God and listening to preaching. So Paul's message is this: you must be nourished up in the words of faith. And being nourished up, it means basically he's saying, grow up in sound doctrine, become more mature. You ought to be nourished by sound teaching, feed on it. Feed on Bible instruction. Feed on Bible application. Don't stay the same. Don't be happy with the way you are. Seek to be growing, making progress by God's grace. And the good servant of Christ is nourished on the words of faith. These are faithful words, truths, it's saying here. Sound doctrine. That's what we need. And the only way we'll ever grow up in the faith is to be nourished on this sound Bible teaching. And then it is that we are able to face the challenges of the Christian life, because our minds have been transformed, being renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit, who has given us His Word, so that we no longer are conformed to the thinking of this world, to the callings of this world, to the teaching of this world, but our mind is being renewed day by day, as Paul refers to in Romans 12. According to what? According to the Word of God it is. And the way that happens is when we are nourished on sound doctrine, on the Word of the faith. And so Paul tells us not only that we are to watch out for bad theology, it's not just negative. You must replace it with good things, truths. You must be feeding yourself on good doctrine. Daily Bible reading, daily meditation, thinking over the words of the Scripture, praying over the words of the Scripture, studying them, listening to it, listening to exposition of it, reading books about the Bible and the history of the Bible and God's working throughout history in the lives of God's people. These are the things you need to be reading. God's people must be readers. Those who don't read, they are malnourished. You see, our God is a God who has given us a written word. And therefore, He expects us to be readers. I was reading about the Reformation that was taking place in certain parts of Europe in the 1600s. By various German preachers. And one of the things that they sought to do, every place where there were people who could not read, they would set up schools so that the main aim was so that they might read the Word of God. That's the aim. So, boys and girls, if you're reading, if you're able to read, then your first thing should be, I want to read the Word of God. I want to read good things, truths. And the Lord's people should be reading. Reading something, some amount, even small amount. You may not have time, you might say, but you can read a certain portion and receive good things. Don't read things that are mediocre. Don't read things that are just that are just dealing with surface issues. But read classic things. Read good things that have been used by God and blessed by God throughout the ages. And of course, never stop reading the Word of God. This is our only standard. This is our only guide in life and for eternity. And so that is what he says, Timothy, make sure you nourish your soul. Timothy, make sure you are going to the words of faith. Remember, Timothy, you need to nourish your soul. You need to feed upon sound doctrine, good doctrine. And the more you learn and feed yourself on good things, you'll know what is bad. That's another thing. You know how it is. If your wife, men, don't put salt on your food, then when you go somewhere else, as it has happened to me on a number of occasions, and you straight away, you realize something is salty. Others may not notice it, but you find that this is salty. It is too salty for me. The reason was not because I knew very much about salt. It's just because there was little of it in my food. And so you become sensitive then to things that, I'm not saying salt is bad. The Lord says salt is good. But you become sensitive to things that you're not used to. So there are some people who concentrate a lot on things that are negative. Concentrate on things that are good, the Word of God says to you. And then when you face something that it just doesn't sound right, you know that you have to study this, that you can't say amen to such and such a thing because it doesn't sound right. You may not be able to put your finger in it at the time, but if you have been immersing yourself in good things, at least there is some form of discernment. Let us move on. The third thing that the apostle says is that a good servant of the Lord has discernment about what is unprofitable. He has discernment about what is unprofitable. So he doesn't just stop there, but he says in verse 7, the first part of verse 7, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. That word for refuse means to reject. Reject it altogether. And the word for fable means simply tales, stories. The good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ realizes that false teaching is unprofitable. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul's not making an insult against our senior sisters in Christ. He's actually taking a poke at the false teachers. He's saying that these men who say that they have a profound message, a better message for you than the inspired scriptures that you have heard before, these men, what they are teaching you are just old wives' tales. It's what the superstitious views and stories of old wives or old women who told stories without any kind of a spiritual or biblical basis. That's what they are like. That's what Paul is saying in this passage. He's saying that false teaching is empty. It's unprofitable for you. And it is stories that will not nourish your soul. It will do the opposite. It's waste of time, he says. And because it's empty, because it is unprofitable, it is also harmful. It hurts people. Why? Because it can't build them up. It can't really help them in the Christian life. If truth is for life, if God's truth is for the living of the Christian life, if God's truth is to make us more like Him, more loving, more faithful, more obedient, then false teaching can't produce those things. And so the more we are preoccupied with something which is not the truth of God's word, the less we are becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ, the less we are growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. False doctrine contributes nothing constructive to the Christian life. And consequently, it is harmful. And so Paul says to Timothy, have nothing to do with false doctrine. Have nothing to do with superstitious things and stories and things that are not true. And friends, there are many things that are taught to adults and the young that are not true, as Christians we know. And we have to be on guard about these things, guarding our hearts and guarding our minds. Is this true? Is it biblical? You have to ask yourself. And if it is not true, from the objective word of God, then you have to ignore it. Say, well, these are old wives' tales. That's what you should say. And these are poisonous stories that we are being fed. And you should be on guard about these things. And so for us, for those of us who are not preachers, but who are members of the church and serving the Lord outside of the pulpit, as it were, ministering day to day, we need to be aware that false teaching is unprofitable and avoided, rejected, just like Timothy was to avoid it. There are things that you might hear. There are programs that you might watch on the internet. There are teachers who might seek to sell their books. You must be on guard about it. And you can always ask more mature Christians about certain teachings and teachers. And be on guard. And it is a good thing to listen to classic writers and classic teachers. Read those kinds of things. That has been a blessing throughout the ages. The fourth thing is this, that the apostle says, and that's the latter part of verse 7, that the good and faithful minister of Jesus Christ, the faithful and good servant of the Lord Jesus, engages in spiritual discipline. And so he says, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That's the second part of verse 7. The good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ engages in spiritual discipline with the goal of godliness in view. He positively gives this imperative, this command, as it were, to Timothy and to you and I. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So he says, on the other hand, you should exercise yourself, you should discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so the apostle is saying to Timothy that the good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is engaging in this spiritual discipline. And his goal is godliness, Christ-likeness. That's the thing that is in view. He's deliberately practicing, exercising. It's the word that is a sports word. It is a word for training. And it's a view to the cultivation, spiritual worship in all of life. And so Paul has just been teaching about false teachers who've been suggesting to the people of God that that really they should move away from the basic truths of the Word of God, and they're adding things to it. They're speaking about external manifestations, that the outward things are more important. And, for example, the kind of food you eat and the kind of fasting from certain things, which the Scripture says no, the Scripture allows, and about the external rites and rituals, through some sort of formal motions. And they're saying that through these things, you will gain godliness. And Paul has said that's not how you gain godliness. But he says this, you do need to discipline yourself. You do need to train yourself, exercise yourself. You do need to exercise and work out to grow in grace with the goal to godliness. That's what he says. And so he says work out. He says exercise. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Deliberately, he says, practice and train with a view of cultivating godliness, spiritual worship. We are to actively pursue this, he's telling us. We are to actively cultivate godliness. He's telling us to discipline ourselves that we might live the Christian life. You see, discipline doesn't make the Christian life easy. That's something that you should take to heart. Disciplining and exercising and training in spiritual things doesn't make the Christian life easy. But it does make it easier. It does make it easier. Without this exercise and training, the Christian life and the challenges that there are will not be won. It is hard. But when you are training toward responding to God's glory and to be following Christ, it would make things easier for you. You'll be ready to face the challenges. But if you're not training, what will happen? If you have not been training, in just keeping yourself fit even, and something happens and you have to make a dash for something, you have to run for something, you're not going to achieve it as well as if you had been training, if you were fit enough. And that's what he's saying here. Without this exercise and training, the Christian life, it's going to be very difficult. You'll fall and stumble into this and that, and it will all be dark and difficult. But when you have been training, even though it is hard, even though it is not so easy, yet you're ready for those challenges by God's grace. And that's what the apostle is saying. So we are not saying the Christian life becomes easy, but it becomes easier. That Christian woman who is struggling with a husband who is not a Christian, who is unkind to her, she disciplines herself for the purpose of godliness in prayer, in the Word of God, in meditation upon the Word of God, in attaining the means of grace and attending it and feeding upon the Word of God. And when she has prepared a meal and the husband comes home and he is not very happy about something and he's very unkind to her or mean to her and he makes it difficult for her, yet her response in that situation would be a godly one. It's not easy for her, but the response would be one that is God glorifying. And you can apply that in so many different ways. That man who has been wrestling against lust and against sexual sins, who's been trying to carefully guard what he looks at and what he reads and what company he is in and where he is and how he is or is not when he's alone, when he's at home, when he's somewhere else, when temptations come. And he's been praying, he's seeking God, and he's been using the means of grace, and he's been feeding upon the Word of God. He's been calling upon God for help day by day. He's been training. He's been seeking the Lord's help, and the Lord has been with him. When he's been seeking accountability, and when he has been seeking to worship God and serve the Lord in different ways, when those temptations come, yet the Lord gives him strength. It's not easy. It is very difficult in his case. But when those challenges come, it becomes easier. And that's how it is, friends. Prayer, meditation, attendance upon the means of grace. These things prepare us for the living of the Christian life. Just as a sort of when a soldier has had training. And that training is vital to the success in the service to the country. When their football players have been practicing and training then it doesn't mean that the game will be easy, but it will be easier. They have already trained. They know how to face the challenges. When the various sports figures seek to train and build their strength, then when the testing comes, then they will be able to face those things, and they are ready for it. So we are to actively pursue and cultivate godliness, Paul is saying. And it doesn't come easy. There's nothing easy about the Christian life. If you thought there's something easy with the Christian life, you've got the wrong understanding of Christianity. You're invited, my friends, into the Christian life, into a fight in this world. We are living in the world. We are not of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ says. And preparing for that fight is not going to be easy. The fight against the flesh, the world, sin within ourselves, and Satan, which is against us, it's not an easy thing. But the fight will be easier if you have disciplined yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so we are to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. And finally, fifthly, the apostle is saying here that a good minister, a good servant of Jesus Christ, will be one who seeks to be more like the Lord Jesus. That's the ultimate thing. He seeks to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see, really, in verse 8. That we are to prize godliness, he says. The good servant of the Lord Jesus realizes the value of becoming more like Jesus. That's what godliness is all about, becoming more like the Savior. For bodily exercise profiteth little, it says in verse 8. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to esteem, the apostle is saying. We are to value, we are to hold dearly, to think highly of and much of, and to treasure godliness, he says. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. He's saying to you, you ought to want godliness more than perfect health. That's what he's saying. You ought to want godliness more than a perfect body. You know, there are those who are there in the gym. There are those who are on the field of training, doing their laps. They're early there in the morning. They're there after work or after school. They're on the treadmill, running. And there is nothing wrong with that, he says. For bodily exercises, it actually profiteth. It's not a negative thing. It doesn't say don't do any exercise. It says actually there is profit in that, but there is little profit in comparison to spiritual profit that we need. There is profit in it for our health. All of us ought to be taking care of our bodies, not to be abusing it by laziness and overindulgence and lack of movement and exercise. But we sin if we do not take care of our bodies and abuse our bodies. I'm speaking to myself too. It would be a sinful thing because God has created our bodies. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. We are to take care of our bodies. It's the Lord's creation. And it's the only one that you will ever have. But Paul is saying, as important as it may be, remember that your spiritual soul, the profit of it, your spiritual discipline, your spiritual exercise, your spiritual workout makes a difference in this life and the life to come. That's what it means when it says, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, friends, we can only be godly by grace. It's by grace. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit in us to grow us in grace. But Paul makes it very clear that growing in the Christian life is something that is both passive and active. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in us, but also we are God's workmanship. We are also to be working those things out. That's why this word exercise is used. That's why the word, these words are used, are active words. The Lord is commanding us to do something. It is something that is both dependent upon God, and it is also something to which we must consecrate ourselves. What does the apostle say in Philippians 2 and verse 12? Work out your own salvation. That's to do with sanctification, with fear and trembling. For it's God that worketh in you, he says. But he says, work out your own salvation. And there you see both sides. Now, can you work it out? Can you understand this? No, I can't understand it. And yet it is the command of God. And so it is that kind of a paradox that you have in the Word of God all the time. It is like the Scriptures, inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. And yet, who was it that wrote the Bible? Was it men or was it God? Was it the pen that wrote the Scriptures or was it the Lord? And that is the case, isn't it? That God moved. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Scripture says. And so it is here too. And both sides are at work. God at work in us to grow us in grace, but we must work out that sanctification, that godliness in fear and trembling. God wants us to discipline ourselves, to exercise ourselves for the purpose of godliness and Christlikeness. Now, what's the state with you? What's the state of your daily life? Are you exercising? Are you exercising spiritually speaking? What are you feeding upon? What are the things that you're listening to? Are they old wives' fables? Are they stories? Are they things that are not true? Or are they truths? Are you feeding upon truth? Are you enjoying the Lord and His presence? Are you following Him? These are the things that the apostle is saying. Are we nourishing our soul with good things, the words of faith and good doctrine? Well, may the Lord write these upon our hearts, grant us by His grace that we would commit ourselves to these things and to enjoy not just profit here in this world, but in the life that is to come through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.